This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakhar Sachdev and you are tuned into On The Ball, Money Control Sports Podcast. Team India defeated South Africa by an innings and 137 runs in the second test played at Pune and thus taking a 2-0 unassailable lead in the three-match test series. To talk about the test series and leading into the third test, I have with me Network 18 Group Sports Editor Gaurav Kalra. Gaurav, before we get into the on-field action, there's a big development off the field. Former Indian skipper Sourav Ganguly is set to assume the president's role in BCCI, thus ending the 33-month term of the Committee of Administrators. So, this is a big development of the field. So, your first reactions when the news came in that Ganguly is set to become the next president of BCCI?
See, the most important thing is, Prakhar, there has been a lot of uncertainty and a lot of, people haven't been quite sure who is leading Indian cricket for the last 2-3 years. While the Committee of Administrators was in place, its job was to implement the reforms that were passed by the Supreme Court, and it started to take on some administrative responsibilities as well. The old guard of the BCCI was constantly at loggerheads with Committee of Administrators. So I think it is very important that all this uncertainty needed to be brought to an end, and someone of eminence and stature needed to be on top of the BCCI's administrative setup. From that point of view, the fact that this is someone who's wields an enormous amount of respect in Indian cricket, very importantly, Prakhar, isn't someone who doesn't understand administration. For the last 5 years, he's been in the role of the president of the Cricket Association of Bengal, so he understands the nuances of administration as well. Of course, the BCCI job is a lot bigger, but I think that given all of these factors, I believe that Sourav Ganguly can make a pretty big difference as BCCI president, or at least start to put the processes back in place, which will ensure that administratively things start functioning smoothly.
It seems to be the script that whenever Indian cricket is in some sort of trouble, Sourav Ganguly is always there to bail the Indian cricket out of it. But what are the challenges in front of the former Indian skipper as he assumes the role of the BCCI's top boss?
I think the biggest challenge is to put in an administrative structure in which everything flows from one authority figure. I mean, that was something that wasn't happening. See, in these last few years, the team on the field, Indian team on the field, has done quite well. Also, other systems are working quite well. The A team has been doing quite well. The under-19 team has been performing well. The women's team has grown in, gone from strength to strength. So on the playing side of things, things are not so bad. In fact, they've been quite good despite all these administrative problems that India has been having. Obviously, there are issues with regard to India's relationship with the ICC. That will be something that will be one of his priority areas. There's also the conduct of the game, the number of new teams that have come in, how to make sure that the organizing of the first class structure is better. He's also talking about making sure that the lot of the first class cricketers is taken care of better. So there are challenges of this kind that Sourav Ganguly will have to handle. He will have to make sure that all of the reforms that have been put in place and the state associations that are still not compliant with those reforms are able to are brought on board. There are certain difficulties that are still there, and he will have to make sure that the BCCI can convince the Supreme Court to have a rethink about some of those issues, such as the conflict of interest clauses. So things of this nature, there's plenty on his plate, Prakhar.
He has talked a lot about the conflict of interest issue. So what effect will Ganguly have on Indian cricket? Any big changes in that regard that we can expect?
I think the conflict of interest issue is something that given the way that it has been coming to the fore, you know, we've seen a very straight-jacketed, a very formal implementation of the recommendations, and in fact now that they are written into the constitution, the ethics officer has been going by strictly the letter of the law, and as a result there have been several difficult situations that have been created. We all know know the cases of Ganguly himself, but besides that, Sachin Tendulkar, even Rahul Dravid's case is unclear right now, whether he can continue in his role at NCA or not. Does he attract the claws of the conflict? PVS Lakshman, because he's a mentor of an IPL team and also a commentator under the strict definition of the law of conflict as it stands right now, he does attract the provisions. So I think they will already the COA itself has in its final report to the Supreme Court said that this is something that needs to be looked at, and perhaps it needs to be streamlined and watered down a little bit. And I think Ganguly will make that one of his major agendas, because what his larger point is that if these clauses continue to be implemented in the way that they are, some of the best brains and talent in Indian cricket will not be able to be used for the benefit of Indian cricket. So I think that argument will cut ice with the Supreme Court.
Sure. One of the things that Ganguly is still remembered for is his ability to spot talent and nurture them. So interesting times for BCCI in next 8 to 10 months. But moving on from BCCI to on-field action, and the series between India and South Africa seem to be following a familiar script. India won the second test at Pune by an innings and 137 runs, and thus they have pocketed the series. But can Indian skipper Virat Kohli make few changes in the playing 11? And can there are few players in the current squad like Shubman Gill, Kuldeep Yadav and Rishabh Pant, they have been untested in the series. Fancy seeing either of these three in the next test?
I don't think so, Prakhar. I think that India will not make any changes. At the most, they might make a change basis of the conditions, but I don't think they'll make a change for the sake of change. I'll give you reasons for it. One, that this test match is just as valuable as the first test match when it comes to the World Test Championship table. 40 points will be won if by the team that wins this test match. So India is already on 200 points. They win another test match, they get that much closer to the final of the World Test Championship. Two, I don't see why India will want to put themselves in a situation from where South Africa can fight back. They have their hands on the neck of South Africa, so to speak, and they will want to make sure that they keep South Africa down and under pressure. Also, if you look, Shubman Gill can only come in for one of the openers, but will one of the openers want to vacate that place? No, because both Rohit Sharma and Mayank Agarwal have been in good form. They've just got into these roles. There's no reason for them to need any rest. Rishabh Pant, how can he come in? Only if Riddhiman Saha sits out, but Saha has only himself just come into the playing 11, and he has been doing well in the last test match. He was one of the star performers, and given that he's done so well and he only plays test cricket, I don't see any reason why India will look at resting him as well. Kuldeep Yadav can only come in really if a third spinner is employed. So in case the conditions are such that India play with an attack which has three spin bowlers, I don't see how Kuldeep Yadav also comes in. So the only sitting on the outside who I think has a chance is Kuldeep Yadav, and that is very conditions based.
Okay, so we can expect an unchanged playing 11 for the third test at Ranchi.
Yeah, unless, like I said, the conditions are such that the third spinner is required, or if the conditions are such that India sees that there's grass on the wicket and the ball will move around and they need only four bowlers and they need the six specialist batsmen, then India could leave out one of the seam bowlers and bring in Hanuma Vihari back into the playing 11. But I think that will be very conditions based. If the conditions are similar, then I think India will stick to this formula of five specialist batsmen, Vridhiman Saha as the wicket keeper, and then five specialist bowlers with Ashwin Jadeja as the spinners and the three seamers.
Now, Virat Kohli's saga seems to be growing with every test. In the Pune test, he hit his career best of 254 not out. And during the course of that double hundred, he had again broken up many records. There seems to be no way of stopping Kohli, but like there could be some fault in Kohli's or some chinks in the Kohli's armor that bowlers could exploit to give them some glimmer of hope.
There don't seem to be, Prakhar, because if there were, then all of these all this support staff that teams carry around with them these days, coaches, assistant coaches, data analysts, video analysts, someone would have figured out how to get Virat Kohli out. I mean, you know, in that innings against South Africa in the last test match, he was tested. It wasn't like he came in and he was immediately able to score freely. It was South Africa did keep him quiet for long periods of time, but once he got his eye in. I think South Africa's big problem isn't so much a chink in that they can't find a chink in Kohli's armor. It is that they don't seem to have the bowlers right now with the ability to exploit if there are any chinks in Kohli's armor. So I think that is something that will that's a bigger concern to them. You know, it's not just Virat Kohli. He comes in to bat at four. There have already been hundreds for Rohit Sharma. Mayank Agarwal has made a double hundred. Cheteshwar Pujara made some runs. But remember, Prakhar, he's someone who's looking to score a big hundred as well, because he didn't get a hundred in West Indies. He hasn't got a hundred here. So it's been a while since he got a test hundred. And now he's going to take a little bit of a break because India will be playing T20s, etc. So before the test against Bangladesh. So he's hungry. So for South Africa, they're coming in against an in-form and eager batting lineup.
With the series win, India have extended their home series winning streak to 11 in a row.
Yes.
And now we have already discussed in the previous podcast that this win in home conditions, people seem to undervalue that.
Yes.
But, and people are arguing that this is one of the best Indian team in a long while. Do you agree?
I think so. I think you have to agree that this is one of the best Indian teams in a long time. See, they've won their last two overseas series. They've beaten West Indies very, very convincingly in the West Indies. They beat Australia in Australia before that. They played very well in South Africa, and they were in with a chance in England. Mm-hmm. I think while the scoreline said 4-1, they were in with a chance in England, and they absolutely dominate in home conditions. I think, Prakhar, one of the signs of what is a very good sports team, not just a cricket team, but a very good international sports team, is that who are the guys who are sitting on the bench who are pushing for spots. And I think that's something that India looks at its bench strength and says, you know, India can almost put up an alternative 11 and they will be very good against this South African team. There are fast bowl. Jasprit Bumrah is not playing. Hardik Pandya is out injured. Navdeep Saini is out not playing. Kuldeep Yadav is not playing. Shubman Gill is not playing. Prithvi Shaw is sitting outside. KL Rahul is another player who's not playing. There are so many high quality players.
Bhuvneshwar Kumar.
You can keep going down that list and almost build an alternative 11. And that tells you that the backup for this Indian team is so good, which means that there is such a struggle for spots, and whoever gets in, classic example, Hanuma Vihari in the West Indies and Umesh Yadav in the last match. He's been sitting out, but as soon as he got in, he made such a big impact that it becomes very difficult to drop him. When the team finds that it's very difficult to drop players because they are performing and they are in good form, and that the alternatives who are making a case for themselves are so good themselves, that's when you know that that team is in a very healthy place. And I think this is without a doubt one of India's best teams of all time.
Sure. Talking about South Africa, the visitors are finding the Indian conditions very difficult.
Yes.
And that is reflecting in the results. But is there any way, any player or something strategically that they can do to turn the tide around, at least go away with one solitary win?
For starters, they need to win one toss. Both the times, Virat Kohli has won the toss and he has elected to bat first, and India have buried South Africa.
Yes.
I think if Fafdu Plessy can win the toss and get service out of his batsmen. See, a couple of batsmen have made runs. Dean Elgar made a lovely 100 in the first test match. Quinton de Kock made runs. Fafdu Plessy himself has got a couple of half centuries. But some of their younger batsmen have been disappointments. Aidan Markram, who came here looking to enhance his reputation, he's been poor. Tenwas de Bruin, he's been poor. Temba Bavuma, he's been poor. So I think maybe South Africa can inject some of their squad players. Zubair Ahmed is a player who's sitting on the outside. He's a good middle order batsman, averages 50 in first class cricket. He's only played one test match, but maybe his solidity can be useful in the middle order. Hendrik Claassen is another player that they might want to introduce into the mix. So they can do a few things like that. Lungi and Ngidi, who Fafdu Plessy felt wasn't quite ready for Indian conditions when he was speaking the last time. He said that he was good in his first spell, but couldn't come back for the second and third spells with the same intensity because his fitness wasn't quite there. So all these, they can do some minor changes, I think, Prakhar, but I think everyone realizes that India starts absolutely overwhelming favorites to win this series yet again. South Africa have just not been able to compete with India in any department, whether it comes to batting, bowling, fielding, captaincy or winning the toss. Nothing.
Okay, you have already given out the verdict that India is a strong start favorite and they are win the series and make a clean sweep. But this one, there's a pattern when India bowls. They run through the top order of any batting lineup, but when it comes to lower middle order and of course the tail enders, there seems to be stiff resistance. That happened in Australia, that happened sometime in West Indies also, and now in the home condition against South Africa. Why is that? Like, why do Indian bowlers get too overconfident, or
I would not say that Indian bowlers get too overconfident. In fact, Prakhar, this is a question that I even asked Anil Kumble when India was having these problems in Australia with getting rid of the tail, and his point of view was that when you bowl to the tail you must not look at them as tail ender batsmen, you must look at them as regular batsmen and continue to stick to your plans that you would have in case of how you are bowling to regular batsmen, top order batsmen. So I think that perhaps there's a little nugget of wisdom from Anil Kumble that the Indian team can embrace. The other aspect is, I think I agree when R. Ashwin made this point in the press conference where he said that a lot of lower order batsmen these days are not your traditional tail enders. Yeah, I think India has a few. In yes. Shami and Umesh Yadav and Bumrah when he plays, and Chahal and Kuldeep when they play in the limited overs teams. But overall, around the world, we've seen who are the guys who've given lower order resistance. Philander, pretty good batsman. Dane Peat in the first test showed good technique. In the same way, Senaran Muthuswamy seems to be a better batsman than bowler, actually. So I think that that is another aspect. And the other point that has been discussed is the nature of the ball. After about 40-50 overs, this current ball that they are playing with seems to be getting soft, and that is restricting the bowlers from being as impactful with the ball. Perhaps those 2-3 reasons combined, yes, it is irritating. But overall, if you look at it, Prakhar, India did get 20 wickets in 200 overs in the last test match. While there was some resistance from the tail at a couple of occasions, overall they imposed the follow-on, they won the test match. So while it's an irritant, I don't think it's a big headache.
Sure.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for 1 year. Use code Diwali. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball. Thank you, Gaurav, for
Thank
your
you,
valuable
Prakhar.
Inputs. With, like, for, to sum it up, there's a prince now in the office and there's a king on the field. And so with great times for the Indian cricket ahead. If you have any questions for Gaurav, please send us a mail on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, the email ID is mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for tuning in.